Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best, too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, could be good evening to all the best people I know. That would definitely be you. Wow, you're going to be so psyched you tuned in today. Well, or if you're listening on replay, because I know a lot of you download the show on iTunes. Over 25,000 listeners in 1 year here. Wow, I tell you what, I am so excited about our guest today. It's taken a long time to get her on. Actually, I want to thank Jim, Black Belt Jim, because he originally introduced me to her, and it's just a privilege. You're going to love her, because one of the things that you know as a listener, if you're new to the family, it's okay, you'll get used to this. I'm all about turning those bad things in life that we all get. Okay, doesn't matter what your age, your color, your race, your gender, everybody has had some suffering. And I love people who share their experience, their strengths, their hope, and their tools on how to turn that stuff, as I was telling Jean before, taking that pile of manure that we don't want and turning it into some rich, golden fertilizer to grow a garden of life that we can love and appreciate. And boy, does Jean know how to do that. So before I bring her on and introduce her, I just wanted to remind you, if you want the entire listing of the month guests, just go to my website, greenskyandbluegrass.com, sign up for the monthly updates, and check out Calling Coaching. It's new this month, and we're going to have the topic this month, Dumping the Drama. So if you or a friend have a drama king or queen in your life, do make sure you sign up for this. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you won't want to miss it. All right, so let's talk about Jean. She has so many things, but I started out with her bio on recession-proofing your bank account by turning your pink slip into a red-hot business, because that's her dynamite book that people are talking about. It's gotten rave reviews. And she's an international sensation, Jean Newell. Now, you may have already seen her on QVC or Fox News or on The Daily Buzz or most recently on The Today Show, because Matt Lauer just interviewed her. She is, I guess, what you would call a boomerpreneur. She's had many jobs in her 60 years. She doesn't look that age. She's a beautiful woman. Look at that beautiful face. But basically, one career, she was really successful in real estate. But the decline of the real estate market, has hit all of us very well, we know. And so she had to go ahead and find another vocation. So if you're 45, you're probably feeling the same way as Jean did, and could be helpless and hopeless, but she's going to turn that around today. So what do you do with 25 years of experience in an industry that may no longer exist? Or perhaps you're one of the millions of baby boomers or seniors who can't live on a retirement check and you've lost your investments. I know about some of that too. You now need to find another source of income. So Jean's expertise and what she's known for and why all these TV shows have her on is because she can help all of us find a new direction, a new beginning, and best of all, a new income-producing opportunity. And that's what How to Turn Your Pink Slip into a Red-Hot Business is all about. Now, be sure you connect with Jean at Jean, JeanNewell.com. because you can get your free sneak preview of some of her writing. And she's also at Newco Marketing. It is my privilege and pleasure to introduce all of the best people to one of the executive officers in the Best People We Know Club, Jean Newell. How are you today, Jean?
Hello, Deb. How are you? And it's great day in September, after going through all the ceremonial things on Sunday, we have to look at a bright future now.
Oh, I know. I tell you, I was glued to the TV watching so many of, you know, the ceremonies and just the people and so much. And I really appreciate you saying that. It's, you know, as a country, as a group of people, we really have survived an awful lot through the ages. And it was beautiful that we were all there. But, you know, speaking towards that end, you really do turn things from bad into great. Tell people a little bit about you and your story, and then we can get into some talking points on business as far as being an inventor. And, you know, somebody out there listening might want to call in and ask you, you know, I have this idea, what do I do? How do I take this idea and turn it into something that could be a business that would help people and, you know, everybody wins? But we want to hear a little bit about your story.
Well, sure. I'm actually 64 years old.
And oh, okay.
I tell people, of course, I told this up front now, but I usually tell people I was in business, real estate, for 35 years, and I say, I don't know how that was possible because I'm only 39 years old. And
I love it. I love it. I love it.
So anyway, the economy, I was selling real estate for, you know, over 30 years, and I was still doing very well, and this was in the early part of 2003, 2004. Things were still, they were out of control because they were climbing, the prices were climbing so high. But I knew that I was going to have to find a different career because I could see the bubble was going to burst at any month or year in the near future. And at that point, I was pushing 60, and my backup plan some 30-some years ago was if I didn't like real estate, I was going to move to Vegas and become a 6-foot-tall, gorgeous blonde showgirl. So I kind of rethought that plan. I thought, well, plan B is it's out of the question now. So I thought, what can I do with my life? Because I was having some special medical situations arise that I really couldn't work like I used to in real estate, getting in and out of the car and climbing stairs and all that. I had a couple bad hips. So I thought, you know, at 60 years old almost, that's, you don't think in terms of starting over at 60. You think in terms of scaling back and enjoying your life and retiring. So I was putting the thoughts out there to the universe, I guess, and trying to come up with some idea. And actually an idea kind of bit me in the butt, I guess you might say, and I didn't even recognize it for almost a year. While working in real estate, I suddenly developed this sometimers ailment. You know, sometimes you remember where things are and sometimes you don't. And that's the sometimers. So I had this terrible habit of leaving all my high-tech things on either someone's desk or in my car or at a house I was showing. And I thought I was losing my mind because we were carrying so many of these new, you know, digital cameras and Blackberries and pagers and cell phones. But I said during one of my office meetings, I'm so tired of forgetting these things. And I think all of us at one time or another has had to call their own cell phone to find it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think everybody can relate to that. Well, it was happening to me more frequently than I'd like to admit. I mean, it was almost a daily occurrence. And I said, I'm going to run down to Home Depot, and I'm going to buy one of those cloth nail aprons that have just the big pockets in front, and I'm going to wear it with my business suit, and I'm going to keep all my high-tech things in it, and a pen, and a pad of paper, so I have things on me because we were so mobile, you know, in and out of cars and so forth. Well, everybody laughed, but later people came up to me that were much younger than I am, and they said, you know, it has nothing to do with your age. We are forgetting things too. So obviously there was a problem, and there was a need for a solution. So we started looking in real estate catalogs for something to carry all of our high-tech products. And believe it or not, no one had ever addressed that. They had fanny packs and things like that, but nothing professional looking. So after several months search, I came up with this idea, but they kind of forced it on me. They said, Gene, why don't you invent something for us? So So I sat down at breakfast with another associate, and we kind of sketched something out. And that's how this new business started, but I still didn't recognize it as my new business. Isn't that amazing that you wouldn't see something hitting you in the face when it's happening? But it's because I was still busy selling real estate.
Wow. That's unbelievable. So really, if somebody's listening right now and, you know, you really probably didn't put those two things together at the time, but in hindsight, it was a problem that you personally experienced. How many of us say, geez, I wish I had that, or, you know, this is what's happening to me, or if I only had this thing, that would really help me out. And you took that solution to your problem, and you discovered, hey, it's not an age thing. It's not just me, because these younger people were saying, hey, listen, we could use that too. You got to create something for us. We need this. That, I mean, what did you think about that? Did you think, well, I can't do that? Or, I mean, what happened next? Because you went ahead. I mean, you're on QVC, you're on the Today Show, you're everywhere. And, you know, it wasn't like you got your Harvard MBA, not to say that, you know, you're not super intelligent and you're super successful. You are. But that isn't what did it, the formal training. It really was so many other things. Tell us about this next step.
Well, that's right. A lot of people don't realize that they're probably sitting on an idea right now that they haven't given any merit to, because great ideas aren't born from someone's genius. It's born from a problem. What is that expression? Invention is the mother of necessity? I think something
yeah.
to that effect.
Sounds, it's good enough for me, Jean.
Necessity is the mother of invention. There we go. And it's true. There's things around your house right now, around your community, or at your school, something that probably just needs to be changed. And no, everybody's been doing it the same way. Nobody wants to take 2 seconds to change anything. And so we stay in that perpetual motion of, equilibrium, I guess it is. I can't quite come up with the word I want to say, but you're not going forward. We're just staying in the same place because we're not looking forward to what we could do. And by listening to other people with the same problem, and that's what we need to do, is open up our ears and eyes. And just like the people in my office, they were commenting on the same thing I was. So it wasn't just me saying those things. It was other people saying. And that's the whole part, I think, of America and the United States is change. When we see that we need to change something, we take out and change it. And that's what you have to do at a local level. I did not have, as you said, a master's degree. I didn't know anything. Heck, I didn't even have a sewing machine, Deb. I had to go get someone to sew this thing because I didn't even know how to sew. So you don't have to be an expert in the mechanisms of how to put it together. You just have to have an idea that you know other people need that you can solve. So that's what we had to do, is we had to find somebody to, you know, everything is a mini step. I do a lot of training with the small business development centers and the women's business centers. I've kind of come up with my own visualization, I guess you might say, is when you're starting a business, it's like putting together a 1,000 piece puzzle. You know, you see all the pieces, but you don't know where they all go in the beginning. And just focus on each piece as it comes along, because if you know all the hurdles ahead of you, you may not take the chance. But just focus on each step as it comes up. So I didn't have any background, but I knew we had to make this bag just for my office. And from there, it went to other offices, and just, you know, it was just a progression. And, you know, you don't go from having an idea to QVC. You go, you know, little mini steps.
Right. So we don't have to go from A to Z right away. So this is a consoling thought. But, you know, what I love about your story, and I'm sure people listening are feeling this resonating in their heart as I am, you know, you had a problem. Well, first of all, you had the first problem of seeing that the real estate market, was going to burst. Now, that put you in a financial situation. We all, no matter how wonderful we are, we still, I keep telling God, why do I keep getting the electric bill? Don't you love me enough that could go to somebody else, you know? But we all have to pay bills. It's a reality. But we all are here, I think, I believe anyway, we all have special talents and gifts, and we're here by design, and that, we're going to be happy when we're using those gifts the way they were intended to be used, which is always to help somebody else, and then in the process we get helped and happy and, make some money to pay our bills too. But you had a problem with the real estate business. Now, how many of us right now are dealing with financial struggles? Okay, that could be the pink slip, as you have in your book, but it became a red-hot business. How? Because you had people around you, you had a problem, you took it, you wanted to turn it into something just for your office. You weren't necessarily focused on, okay, I'm deciding to be an inventor. I want to be on QVC. Matt Lauer will be interviewing me on such and such a date on the Today Show. No. You just said, look, there's a need. I can create the solution. And you, just like the headlights in the car at night, you didn't try to go from Boston to California in 1 hour. You trusted those headlights. You looked at the light and the things that were being opened to you along the way. But you've learned a lot. So, how long did it take from that first concept, when you had to even go out and get you didn't have the sewing machine, that first concept to actually having a product?
Actually, very, very quickly. I'm shocked at now what people tell me, that you can't do it that fast. And I'm glad that I didn't share a lot of these ideas with these negative people, because they'll tell you all the things you can't do.
There's a lesson in that. We should pause and reflect. Okay, everybody, write that down. Get rid of the poisonous people. Prune them out of your life.
Luckily, I hadn't shared a lot of this information, because I'd had the idea for several months in the summer of 2003. In September is when I actually drew the product on a paper napkin in Denny's. I mean, it sounds like it's right out of any inventor's book. They all seem to have a restaurant story where you're, drawing something on a tablecloth.
The restaurant story and the napkin, yeah.
Yeah, the tablecloth or the napkin. And in September, so I found a seamstress, and at that point was the Yellow Pages. I wasn't using websites for search engines at that point, and found someone locally that could put it in a three-dimensional view so people could actually look at it and see, does it work? So that's the first step. And so in September, I did that. One of my associates in my office knew a bag manufacturing company in Miami, so we sent my little handmade prototype to him, and we had our first samples in November and the first order in late December. I sent it to QVC in January and was on air in May. So
wow.
In less than about 6 months, I went from idea, prototype, manufacturing, and got it on QVC. So that's pretty fast.
That's amazing. Wow. That is just unbelievable. And probably, maybe not typical for other people, but, hey, listen, you didn't know any better. You just knew
that. That's right.
Just going one step to the next step to the next step. So, would an invention business be a viable option for people who have been laid off or are looking for a new career, especially, a lot of boomers and, people that, need that second income, big families, whatever. Tell us about that, because I love the hope in your story.
Well, I'm going to include in the word invention business consulting or any kind of a service, because that's technically reinventing something new or having a new product, because a lot of people don't think of themselves as a product, but you are a product. And when you have an actual physical product like I did, I still had myself as a product, because when you promote something, whether it's a business, a service, or whatever, you're promoting yourself. And your business and product actually should trail behind you. It's hard to wrap your head around that when you're talking about publicity and marketing. But when you're an invention business, if you have a, if you have a service or you have a very good skill, you can turn that service into a product. If you want to create something just new and different for sometimes the local craft shows or people travel with their inventions, you don't always have to spend a lot of money getting something manufactured and getting it on QVC or in Macy's or anything like that. Some people have a nice business just going to the area craft shows or going to trade shows with it and so forth. But what I would caution people about, if you're thinking in terms of an actual physical product as opposed to yourself as the product, be very careful not to invest a lot of money into tooling and factories. And a lot of times when you want to manufacture something, especially if it's overseas, they're going to want you to make 2,000 or 3,000 of these things to get the price where you can afford it. So, yes, an invention business could be a great viable income-producing opportunity for people, but you want to keep it simple. For an example, there's a lot of people that have T-shirt businesses that are not just T-shirts. They've done something unique with them. They've either had different sayings on them or they have a different way to wrap them or something that you can take locally and don't have to invest a lot of money into it. So services, ideas, consulting, or actual products fall into that invention business. So I would say yes. Talk it over with your small business development centers, your women's business centers. Have that third party, you know, look at it. And let's, you know, get other people's opinions, find out how much it would actually cost to start it. But I think that's a great opportunity because one thing we still have, you might not have them enough money to pay the electric bill, but we still have our minds. And we when you set a goal for yourself and you set, I was just re-listening to one of your earlier broadcasts on the law of attraction and so forth. When you set your goals to things like that, it's amazing what people will show up in your life to help you.
Yes.
And you want to encourage that. You want to have people on your side helping you.
Yeah, for people listening, that I think that was the show with Eva Gregory, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's law of attraction expert. She's great. And it really does. You know, all of these dots do connect. And sometimes, you know, you have to live your life forward and you learn it in hindsight. But when we hear other people's stories, we have that aha moment to say, oh, I remember Jean saying that. Or I remember Eva. Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, Jean in her life was making sure she didn't listen to the naysayers and she wouldn't have had her product on QVC, you know, within 6 months if she had done that. So there are a lot of common traits and threads that do weave this all together. But I'm interested because I like your point about, you know, you don't have to go to China. You don't have to order 3,000 of these things. You don't have to do all this. How many of your pups did you actually have when you sent them to QVC?
Well, after I said this, I actually did a lot of the things I tell people not to do because I figure they might as well learn from my mistakes, you know, because I made a lot of them because I didn't have anyone to turn to. I didn't have a mentor or a coach to help me get past the initial stages. So I made expensive mistakes. So one of them wasn't really a mistake, but I had to do it. When I did a little focus groups, and you want to do that before you ever order any product. You want to make sure that someone else is going to buy this and you've got the right price on it because you can have the best product out there, but it's the market value. What are people really going to pay for it? And you've got there's certain percentages that you have to figure out and so forth, and I'd be happy to share that with people if they wanted to contact me. But you can't make a product for $9 and sell it for $10. You know, there's going to have to be a percentage in there. So
let's pause for just 1 second and make sure people know how to connect with you. Can you give us all your contact information again? Because I think it's a good time to do that.
Oh, sure. They can contact me right at jeannewell.com, and that's Jean, J-E-A-N, just like blue jeans, Jean Newell, N-E-W-E-L-L.com, or jean@jeannewell.com is my email. So when I had to order, I had the manufacturing company in Miami, and they said, I thought, you know, I'm going to be conservative. Although I had, at that point, I had 70 orders for a product that didn't even exist yet. So I had done my focus.
You had 70 orders for a product that didn't even exist yet. Okay, everybody, are we hearing? Are we hearing what Jean just said? That's great.
So you want to make sure that, you know, you've shown your prototype around, and yes, people say, you know, they're interested. And I would tell, and I had other real estate offices calling my office because the word had gotten kind of spread around the community that I had developed this product for real estate agents. As it turned out, this product went on to be travel products and everything else, but initially it was invented for real estate agents. And all these other offices were calling. So I thought, well, I'll be conservative and I'll order, even though I have 70 orders, I'll order maybe like 36. So I called this manufacturing company that had got, you know, that I'd been in touch with and who had sent me a prototype and so forth. And we had discussed prices, but, I didn't even know how many I was going to order, because when you only order one or two, they're very expensive, So I said, okay, I'm ready to place my big order. He goes, how many do you want? And I said, I want 36. And he said, of course, he's on speakerphone, which isn't always good because people can't understand, as I'm finding out, because he said to me, 36, Jean, is our minimum. And I said, great, I'm ordering 36. He goes, no, you've got me on speakerphone. I'm not saying 36, I'm saying 3,000.
Oh!
I went, what? And I thought, well, I'm not a bag lady, which people call me now. I'm not in the bag business. You know, I can't order 3,000 of these bags. I don't, you know, I haven't even basically made the first sale. But because that was the only way to get the order, because they have to retool and they have to cut patterns and they have to do everything, I slept on it, believe me. And I talked to a couple different people and I thought, oh my gosh, am I insane? Am I really going to do this? Because I told everybody in my office, well, our little idea is out the window. I can't afford to do this, put this heavy, you know, expense on a credit card. But again, it boils down to believing in yourself. And at some point in time, you have to weigh the consequences. Let's don't go crazy now and you know, step out there on a limb. But on the other hand, you have to take the leap of faith. So I decided, well, so many people are telling me this is a great idea. I think we've got the right price. It'll work if I order 3,000. I went ahead and ordered the 3,000. So I had some inventory when QVC contacted me, but they wanted their own 3,000.
Oh.
So I had to turn around a month later and order another 3,000. Yes.
Yeah, but you sold out, so you were good.
Yes, we sold out. We sold almost 4,000 in 7 minutes. So I went back to my garage and sent more to QVC to take care of that order. But, you know, it's very scary. And when I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and inventors, it's a thin line there between, do I turn in my 401k and go for broke, or am I conservative and try to figure out other ways to get financing and to get capital? You have to be a believer and believe in yourself and the universe, and yet you have to have that conservative side to you too. You have to be thinking this through, because I've seen so many people just throw caution to the wind and, you know, they're out of business very quickly.
And that's why it's so important, I think, to have a coach, to have a mentor. I mean, Eleanor Roosevelt, you can't make all the mistakes in yourself in this world. You have to learn from other people. So the good news is, for somebody listening who has an idea, you know, that's one of the things that one of the new businesses that's actually come out of this. It's not only the pup, the personal utility pouch, it's your, your business of consulting and helping people so that they can avoid some of the train wrecks, which is why it's important that people get in touch with you. And I think you sharing your wisdom, you know, that is priceless, because there's no reason for somebody to have to go it alone, right? I mean, you wish that you were there for yourself back then, right?
Exactly.
You wish you had somebody like you.
Exactly right. I tell people that. I said, I wish I'd known me
yeah.
years ago, because That's why I think for consultants, you'll see sometimes these charity events and so forth, they bid for time to sit down with Oprah for lunch or Donald Trump. They're worth their weight in gold to sit and talk to them for a couple hours. And people don't realize if you can, whatever the price is, if it's something that you can afford and it's in your, and I try to have all kinds of things that are free on my site to help people, because I know how it was. When you're starting out, you don't have thousands and thousands of dollars to invest, even though you need to. You don't have that. So you've got to find coaches, and that's why the Small Business Development Center and other free places, SCORE and so forth, can help people. But the one-on-one coaching is so important. If you can find the one that is recommended, that is in your line, oh, my gosh, the money that they can save you, because they've been down that trip. They've been down that road. They've been on that trip. They know, I probably squandered $70,000 my first year on unneeded things. And I think back now that, you know, I kind of wish I had that in my bank account, because I didn't know any better. I was not privy to that information as being an entrepreneur and in business. So those are the kind of things that if you, you know, find those right coaches, they're going to be heaven sent to you.
Yeah, and certainly you're one of those angels to help us fly into our new successful business. You know, you have a great blog, too. I just want people to know. So if you go to Jean's website, you'll find a lot of links and resources and, as she said, the free tips. But she has a blog, Jean Newell's Tips for Entrepreneurs, and, you know, they're really to the point. What do you do with your great idea? Things like this. And I love how you have a lot of the videos and photographs and things from so many of your interviews, and they're all really captivating. And talk about, you know, mind vitamins and a dose of inspiration. I mean, you can't get a vitamin any better than watching and listening to you, because it's like everything's possible. And for the things that you're worried and concerned about, you're there to help, you know, give the wisdom that we need. So, you know, let's and the fearless boomer. I mean, you are just amazing. Let's talk a little bit about some of your tips again. Some of the pitfalls. Maybe something that was frustrating to you that you want people to know, or, you know, looking in hindsight, a couple of the top things that people need to remember. Because again, it's not only the product, it is, but you are your product. Without you, there is no product. And I think that there's so many things that you've done so successfully to create this income, to have fun, you know, to enjoy what you're doing. You've met people all across the world. I mean, this, you've really, you know, come into a stage in your life, in your later years, that's, you know, the best is yet to come. I mean, look at all the stuff you've done. So tell people listening some of the things that they might expect that could be frustrating, some of the things to overcome, and what they can do today, besides connecting with you, of course.
Well, one of the things before I tell about what they might expect is they want to find, if they're wondering what they could do, the first step is to maybe start analyzing yourself, finding out what you can do well. And if they would like, on newcomarketing.com, I have a free link that will go into kind of a self-evaluation test, because you want to know where you're kind of headed. Because a lot of people say, well, that worked for you, Jean, but I don't know what I could do. So the first thing is to find out something that you like, something passionate that you could stand for. And because, you know, you're going to be working lots of hours. And if you enjoy what you're doing, it's not going to seem like work. So the things that they might expect is the first thing is you want to make sure you have a viable product, service, or business. So start a focus group, and a focus group are just people that you have targeted that you feel are in the right age group or whatever your demographic is for your product. And don't say everybody is perfect for my product, because there will be certain age groups. And then sit down and have lunch with them. It doesn't have to be hundreds of people, four or five people. and let them give you their input on your product. Is it the right size? Is it the right color? Is it the right price? Because before you start investing in a lot of money, you want to make sure that other people can give you their opinions. Be careful of using your family and close friends for this, because they're going to be weighted one way or another.
Yeah. We need objectivity here, right?
Right. We need people that you know, or someone has, you know, referred you to them, that they don't have that same tie with you as a family member. And you might even ask them 4 or 5 questions. What do you think of this color? And get them yes and no's and so forth. The second thing is, when you're ready to start, you're going to start your business. You're going to sit down with your business plan that you can, again, do with SCORE or with the Small Business Development Center. And whatever it you have on paper, it's going to cost much more than that in reality. We always forget something or things that are going to be more costly than you planned on. So before you start your business, find out where you could get capital if you needed it. Find out, how much do I have on my credit card limits? Can I actually borrow against something, an investment I have? Will my aunt give me money? Can I get money from my family? Can I sell stock? What can I do in case I need money? You don't necessarily have to go out there and get a loan. Just go to your bank or your financial institution and ask them, on a line of credit, what could I possibly get on a line of credit or home equity or whatever you can do? Because when that opportunity arises, you won't have time to go out there and look for it. And that's exactly what happened with me. QVC came up so rapidly, I didn't have any more room on my credit cards because I already had the 3,000 bags from before, and I had to get enough money to order more bags. And I was out there beating my head against the wall trying to get a bank to loan me money. And then they would say to me, how long have you been in business, Jean? And I would look at my watch and I would say, counting today? And they said, yes, counting today. And I would say, 3 months. And they'd say, don't let the door hit you in the rear on the way out.
Yeah.
Because they want you in business 2 years. So you've got to know where you can get money. So those are the important things to expect, is the opportunity might just drop right in your lap, right off the bat, and you have to be prepared. So if there was only, the old Boy Scout and Girl Scout, be prepared. You must be prepared for success, not failure.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, do you have to that's interesting. Isn't that a catch-22? They want you in business for 2 years, but you're here, you're a new business owner. That's new.
Right.
You know, but I love your – what time is it? Look at my watch. Do you have to pay for airtime on QVC, just out of curiosity? Inquiring minds want to know, Jean.
Inquiring minds? No, QVC is set up very much like any other retail store. It's a retail on-air store. So they, negotiate a price that they're going to pay for your product. The only difference is, unlike a store, if you have a product and you send it to Macy's, they're going to pay you for that product within 30 days, and it might sit on the shelves for a couple months, it might sell out, but you get paid for it right away. With QVC, it's more like a consignment shop. You send your product to them, but they, if it doesn't sell or they change their mind or something happens, they have the right to send it back. So you only get paid on what sells. So it's a wonderful opportunity for entrepreneurs, but it's also a very it's a gamble. It's quite a bit of a gamble for a young entrepreneur also, because you just never know if all that product you're sending to them you might receive back.
Now,
so you don't pay for
airtime. Yeah, so you don't pay for airtime, but you do have to pay the consignment. You stock it on the shelves, and then you get paid when somebody actually purchases it from
them. Right. And you have to send it all to them before you go on air.
Yeah, wow. But that's great. That's so exciting. So what are some of the other places? You've got your products in gift catalogs, online. Tell listeners, where they can, let's say they, they're interested in how to start a business, but maybe they want to get one of your bags. Where do you have your bags? And, that would be nice to know how you've gotten into those niches as far as catalogs and things as well.
They can go right to my product website, which is lovemypup.com. And the reason why it's pup is it stands for personal utility pouch. And that was the kind of little catch word we had. So lovemypup.com. And there they can find out all the different places they can purchase, or they can purchase it right there online. And it kind of tells the story also. But any of those websites we've given them, they can find out various ways that I did things. I have a lot of radio interviews and television interviews. And if they're interested in QVC, I have a PDF file I can send them that goes into more detail. It's all about sharing. You know, it's all about paying it forward. If I can be of help to someone else starting a business, hopefully they'll be able to turn around and be of help to the next person. And, you know, it's the small business that's going to change and turn around our economy.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, and certainly you have done that. Fantastic. So for people that, you know, want to know a little bit more about Jean, you are the Florida Small Business Development Center speaker and expert. You're also at NASA's Entrepreneurial Training Program, Women Business Centers. So, I mean, you really do divide your time to spreading your knowledge as well as, you know, promoting your products. So it's a nice balance. For someone that's going to go out and pick up your book, How to Turn Your Pink Slip into a Red Hot Business, what can they expect to learn from reading that book?
I think what they will learn, and by the way, I will send it to them free right now, your listeners, because what I'm doing is sending out this book free if they would like to participate in the final chapter. So someone that might have a business out there right now that wants to have some free marketing, they can get in my book on the last chapter, and I can tell them more about that when they request my book.
Wow, you heard it here first, everybody. Best people getting the best opportunity with Jean. That's awesome. Thank you. So tell us more about the book because I think it's just so exciting.
The book, the first couple chapters, is about my story, and I'm a little bit of a comedian at heart, so I've tried to make it kind of funny, but basically what happened to me and the various circumstances I got myself into, and then we go into how someone else can mirror what I did, and various things like the self-evaluation test is in there, and also how to react to people. When I was in real estate, I was really an entrepreneur, and I didn't realize it at the time. You know, you're basically self-employed as a real estate agent, and we had a lot of training and a lot of people coming in and talking about personality, different types of personalities, and how to react and how to talk to different personalities. All of that is great in business as well as at home. So all of that is in there. There's marketing tips and publicity, all the things you kind of need to know to just get started. But I think what is the takeaway is people love to know that someone else that was just a common Joe or a common Jane was able to take this information and turn it into a positive, turning it into a business. I had no background, and I think that's why I am on the speaker's market so much, or the speaker circuit, because there's so many boomers out there that are facing reinvention and transition. And I'm working right now with NASA, with their retiring aerospace engineers,
Wow. Yeah, up there at the Kennedy.
These people, yeah. NASA started a new retraining program for them, for people that were getting forced to retire this year or being laid off because of the space program. And we have thousands of people that are taking this NASA entrepreneur retraining program, and I'm mentoring them. Now, this to me is some kind of a weird...
That's fabulous, Jean. I love it.
Occurrence in the universe, but who'd ever think a 64-year-old woman who, with no engineering background or anything, is now mentoring aerospace engineers? But it's all about what you know. They know how to send a rocket into space, but they don't know how to start a business, which now I came up with this little idea, a little tagline for NASA, and I say, obviously, starting a business isn't rocket science. So
I love it.
Anyway.
You have, you know, one of the qualities of your success, Jean, besides building great rapport, you have a great sense of humor, and I love your sense of humor, and I think that's a takeaway that we should all really remember, because, you know, life is too important to be taken seriously, really. But go on with this. With it. That's NASA. That's fascinating. I love it.
So they at least they recognized that they were going to putting thousands of people in a community. There were going to be a lot of people entering the workforce, and they had to transition. I mean, people that worked at NASA for 30, 35 years, where do you go with that knowledge if there's no longer a space program or one that is recognizable like we've known it? So everything is transition. Now, just to touch on very quickly, years and years and years ago, back in the Stone Ages when I was in college, my major was mass communications, and I wanted to be in television. And this was when I was in my 20s. And I had gone to California, and I got into CBS. And I was working my dream and had to go back to Fort Lauderdale, where I was from, to take care of some family business. And one thing led to another. Next thing I know, I was there longer than I wanted to be, and I started selling real estate just as an income producer. And my goal was always to get back out to California. Well, I never did that. I mean, I stayed true to my passion, and I did a lot of acting and commercials and different things like that. But my goal was always to be in television. Okay, fast forward 4 decades, I'm now in television. And I'm pursuing...
Wow, isn't that a great segue connection? Fantastic.
I'm pursuing something that I wanted to do when I was in my 20s. And that's what I think is the whole key to this. When you have to transition, dust off those old passions, those old goals, those old interests that you have shoved in your closet in your mind and you've forgotten you even know how to do, and dust them off and look at them and say, gosh, maybe I could start singing again. I used to be a very good singer. Maybe I could start singing professionally to make some extra money while I'm still looking for a job, or as I retired, you know, to make extra income. There are gifts and different talents that we have forgotten we know how to do.
Mm. And you really encourage people to make these 3 lists, I guess, where you can talk about writing down everything that you like to do on the left side, and then on the right side, making a list of things and skills that you do well. But what I love about all of this is that you're asking each one of us to not really judge ourselves, you know, to just, and I think one of the examples you have on your website is, well, if somebody's telling you your lawn looks great, you know, just write that down. Don't make a lot of judgments. Don't think that it's insignificant. And then, you know, looking at what people tell you as your strong points. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of self-discovery here. In your example of when you were younger in college wanting to be in TV, and here you are, fast forward, this is what you're doing. But see, all those things had to happen along the way to make you the success that you are. So nothing in our life is wasted. So whether we're a boomer, we've got a pink slip, we think we're in our worst, it could be the very time that our dreams are going to come true, right?
That's exactly right. You just never know when that opportunity is going to be there. But if you can live, in fact, my tagline at the end of all my emails and my letters, instead of sincerely, I have changed that to live your passion. And that's my whole motto, is if you can live what you love to do or something you can do well and you love to do it, that's the whole goal of life, is not only making a living and so forth, is enjoying it. And if you've got a certain gift, share it with the world. My gosh, there's people out there that play piano or have some great, I've taken some of these aerospace engineers and they're now golf pros because they used to play golf and they were very good at playing golf, and now they're golf pros because they found their passion. And it's all about self-discovery, like you said, Deb.
Mm. And, you know, I think as when we were starting out, we were talking, and you can't help but constantly keep in your heart the 9/11, I mean, with this 10-year anniversary. But, you know, think about all of those people just going to work, just doing whatever they were going to do in an ordinary day. They didn't expect that day to be what it was. You know, I think sometimes we forget that all of us will eventually be leaving. And what you said is so important. Be passionate. Do what you love. And that example of the person in NASA, you know, loved golf, now he's a golf pro. But you have a way of, you know, taking our passions, living our life, threading everything together, making an income, helping other people. You know, it just becomes a total win. And, you know, people would be crazy to not connect with you. And you've got such an open heart, a great spirit. You really care about other people. And do you just wake up in the morning and say, I just love being me. It's so wonderful to be me that my life is so great. You know,
I think I'll put that on my bathroom mirror.
Yeah, I love being me. I love me. We're the best people we know club, you know. What a great place to be in life, isn't it? To just know that, you know what, I matter. And I think sometimes we forget. We get so busy. We get, you know, it's the negative and the bills and the negativity or this horrible thing happened. But you're a testimony to things that seem bad. You know, the best is yet to come right around the corner. The miracle can be in those 5 minutes and to not give up. But we have to learn from other people. There's no shame in getting help and, you know, a coach, and you're willing to do that, getting the right person to help you. It's not knowing 100 people, it's just knowing that one right person that can help you get to where you need to be. And it's just so inspirational what you do, and can't thank you enough for sharing your shine with us. And I know a lot of people listen on replay. You'll be a heavily downloaded show, I'm sure. But just give out your information again. And I think it's so, what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for somebody that has a business to share their experience and perhaps be part of your book. I mean, this is going to be great. So just give people, you know, how to connect with you and a final thought for them.
Sure. Do we have time to go over four real quick entrepreneurial creed that I developed?
Yes. No, I think we should. We better. Go ahead.
Okay. Again, my contact number is jean@jeannewell.com, or just go to jeannewell.com. I have phone numbers on there, and I believe in putting phone numbers on websites. I get so irritated when I go on websites and can't find phone numbers half the time, but it's great to be able to, you know, connect with a live person. So whenever that's possible, I will pick up the phone myself.
Okay.
But first, I kind of developed and a lot of these things just happen because people have requested them. But I have four quick, it's my entrepreneur's creed. And I think this is what we have to keep posted at the bathroom mirror or in front of the computer. The first one is, you have to believe anything is possible. If you don't believe it's possible, then of course it's not going to happen. You have to believe it's possible. The second thing is, you have to enjoy what you do. If you can enjoy something, if you can live your passion, it's going to make things happen a lot quicker for you, and it's going to be a lot more enjoyable. So enjoy what you do. Number three, you have to do whatever it takes. It's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of things that you have to do that you don't like to do. I don't particularly like picking up the phone and calling someone, you know, if I don't know them, but that's what I got to do. I've got to do that. And there's a lot of other things. I used to, sometimes I would be sweeping out my factory and then catching a plane to QVC and going on air in front of millions of people and then coming back the next day and selling real estate. I mean, it was insane.
Wow.
So you do whatever it takes. And then the final one, number four, which I think is really one of your most important ones, is you don't ever abandon your dreams. Don't abandon your dreams. If you've got a dream, keep plugging away at it, because you never know if tomorrow is the call from the big vendor you were waiting for or whatever, or today's show, it doesn't matter. Don't abandon your dreams.
Wow. Anything is possible. Enjoy what you do. Do whatever it takes. And don't ever abandon your dream. Wow. Those are good. Okay, that's going on my mirror as soon as we hang up. That's my note. Entrepreneur's Creed, Jean's Creed. That's absolutely awesome. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to, I think what you should do is you're going to be a radio host for people to start a business. You need to get your own radio show. You could be interviewing with that book all these people, because you are really a mentor and a star in the sky that just shines bright in how to do it. Not only what you do, but how you do it. I love your attitude. And you're such a real deal girl. You know, I had to go sweep out the manufacturing, and then I sold the real estate, and then I got on the plane, and then I got on the plane again. I mean, you're not afraid of hard work, but if you do those four things that you've qualified for us, right, you're going to enjoy whatever it takes.
Right. Well, I made 35 flights, and that's 70 planes, 35 flights from Orlando. I live outside of Orlando. Orlando to Philadelphia, where the QVC studios are outside of Philadelphia. I made 35 flights in 18 months, and I'm a white-knuckle flyer. So,
yeah, I'm not a fan of flying either.
I'm a white knuckle flyer, so I had to do whatever it, because being on TV was the fun. That's 7 minutes a pleasure for me, right? But I did the 35 flights. So you have to do some things that you aren't comfortable with, but it, and you might not like, but it gets you to your goal. So it's all about pushing forward, you know, and stepping out. You know, you hear that, step outside the box. Well, what does that mean exactly? And I think what it really means is to push yourself a little bit farther than you think you can do. Because
now, because you can't grow if you're not going a little bit farther than you did before, right?
And I noticed this with women especially. They don't have, we've been brought up in an age where you don't want to boast about yourself, and you don't want to talk about yourself, and you don't want to tell people what you're good at doing. And I have people, women that say, but Jean, you could do it, but I can't ever do that. And I go, why can't you do that? Tell me why you can't do this. And they can't tell me why they can't do it, because it's just been inbred. So I have to work with them to let them know that anything they want to do, they can do. And it's getting past their own judgment.
And I think getting past your own judgment, but also one of the things that I hear in your story is you were really present in the moment and you were really open to what was being given to you. For example, your story of you went to California, you wanted to go back to California, you didn't think you were going to stay in Florida, but you did. And, you know, you were open to things that were presented to you, and then one thing built on the other. And, you know, I love how you really looked at things in your life and reflected on them. And do you think that sometimes we have it staring us in our faces and we just don't, you know, the eyes that don't see syndrome?
Of course. In fact, I think we even started off almost an hour ago, and I said I didn't even recognize my business for a year. I had my new business of my pup bags, and I was on QVC, and I was still selling real estate, and I didn't realize that this was the new business that I had wished and hoped and prayed for that would enter in my life to replace real estate. I was in it for a year and didn't even see it.
Wow, wow.
Because I kept thinking, I wasn't thinking in terms of this was going to be a business. To me, this was my little invention that I got on QVC, and you know, I was doing this and that with it. But I had always been told, and again, you don't want to always hear this negative, you don't rely on just QVC because, you know, that you're going to be on once if you're lucky, and then you'll never be on again. Well, you know, that parlayed into another one, but I didn't see the future that it could be a long-term thing. So I was just strictly looking at it as this was a little side thing that I was doing. It took a whole year of doing this before I suddenly woke up one morning and went, this is the business.
Yes. I've actually arrived. Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that amazing?
How can I have just been
in business a year and not know it? I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I tell you, Jean, you've been a great guest. Just absolutely loved having you on. It's been a fast hour and just so many valuable pearls of wisdom. And you have an idea out there. You're listening. You have a friend that has an idea, and you're going to share this show with them. You need to get in touch with Jean. If you have a desire in your heart, if you have something that's really resonating, something that people are telling you is, you know, wow, you're really good at this, or you've got this, you know, interest, you're enjoying this, this love, this passion, get with Jean because she can help you. That's what she does. And, you know, step into your greatness. Don't wait. Time is passing. Life is going on, and the world needs you to share your shine, and Jean can help you do that. So, Jean, thank you. I hope you'll come back and keep us updated because you've just been a great guest. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, Deb, for inviting me.
You're awesome. All right, well, make sure that you share this show with a friend, get in touch with Jean, and in the famous words of Oscar Wilde, remember to be yourself because everybody else is already taken. Go out and make it a great day. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.